Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol niyeh b'vro.
Amen.
Big yashkayach right from the outset, everyone coming tonight to learn together with Siyata Dishmaya a little bit about the tefillahs that are quickly approaching. The best way to start, apparently, is with a Taurus Nadarm. After all, you can't even go into Rosh Hashanah without first passing through the procedure, the process of being matter, of making null and void all of your vows. Now, again, the poskim do qualify. This isn't stam, a blanket nullification of every single vow. It only nullifies certain types of vows. But either way, without getting into the nitty-gritty and all the nuances and intricacies and the manifold, the related halachas, clearly it's doing something. And Barosh HaRishona, at the very outset, as we get ready and set for the Tfilas of Yom Naroyim, if on Erev Rosh Hashanah there's an Indian to go in and do a Tzar Sadarim, clearly that means that it's here, but Geder HaChone means a preparation for the Avodas Hayom. So what is HaTzar Sadarim really all about? Havada the slichas too, and with Minhagen that start already slichas the entire month. We're dealing now with Rosh Hashanah right now, exclusively Rosh Hashanah. Havada there's a separate avod of slichas, and that's something Yemet Hashem will talk about as well with other Ramams, a few Ramams that discuss the minig of getting up early in the morning to recite slichas. That's something the Ramam mentions specifically at the end of Alach Adal and Perak Gimel of Hilchos Tshuva. So that's something Yemet Hashem will tackle separately. Again, we're not getting into the nitty-gritty. We just want to address right now that we can't get into Rosh Hashanah without passing through what's called Atzar Sadarim. Whatever it's doing, how it's doing it, the point is we have to be Matir Nadarim. Why is that a chelek? Why is that integral to our preparation to the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah? Clearly, as the Maral and others express, we know that we spend so much time in shul davening on Rosh Hashanah, especially on Yom Kippur. If we're spending so much time davening to give us a deeper, a more profound appreciation of what the Koach HaTfilah is all about, before you can understand and appreciate what Tfilah is all about, first we have to preface with understanding the Chashivas of our Koach HaDibur in general. Dahainu, before you go ahead and get set to start davening and to open up your mouth, when we know the Avodas Hayom, which is all about, as the Gemara tells us, citing the Brice at the bottom of Tezayin Amin Aleph and Rosh Hashanah, and again on Lama Dala and Arbeis, Imru Lefonei Malchios Kadesha Tom Lichuni Aleichem. Hashem says, I want you to say before me psukim and ideas, messages about the Malchios of establishing God as the sovereign ruler over the universe, as the Melech Malchim Alochim. It's all about the Malchios, but what Imru Lefonei Malchios? I want you to say the psukim, because saying something brings it to the Olam Asiyah, brings it to the world of reality, the world of actualization. The whole idea of Soloveitchik explains why a chelek of tshuva is about vidoy, which the Rambam even defines the mitzvah tshuva as one of tzurich lizvados. You have to do vidoy. Why do I have to do vidoy? Doesn't God know anyway my feelings? Doesn't the Navi write in Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Zayin, Hashem is choker levavoch and kloyus? Isn't he yodea kol talumis? As the Rambam writes in Perek Beis Halacha Beis of Tshuva, God knows what I'm thinking. He knows what's inside my machshavas. Hayotzer yachalim on hamevin al komaseim. That's the pasuk we have in our 10th animamin. Hashem knows what I'm thinking. Yeah, but to say it means now you're coming in reality, because what you say brings a whole new level of meaning, brings it into lola masiyah. You can relate so much more when it takes on a certain hitgashmut, a certain sense of actualization by going from the world of machshava, the world, the realm of the domain of thought, and now leaving that domain and entering now the domain of speech, where it's coming now some mamoshes, some sense of more, it's more tangible, it's more palpable once I bring it into the Olam Asiyah. That's why we have to do vidoy, we have to confess the sin. And that's why we have to go ahead and start with that Tzar Sadarim to understand first and foremost the chashivus of how potent, how powerful our Koach HaDibur, our power of speech, is all about. We know when the Sifrei Machshava, the Maral, and others delineate the four general classifications of the Bria of the creation, they start out with the world of Domim encompassing therein still, lifeless, silent matter. Then we ascend the ladder in the story of creation. We move our way up to Tzomeach, to the world encompassing all plant and vegetative life. Then finally the world of Chai, all living species. And then finally the smallest world of them all, and thus the more Chashuv. After all, there's so much more Domim than Tzomeach, more plants and vegetation and grass than there are insects, reptiles, amphibians, and mammals. And then we get to the smallest group of them all, and that's human beings. Ratio of animals, even to human beings, is already a 1,000-to-1 ratio. You take the weight of all the ants in the world, the weight of all the ants in the world equals the weight of all the human beings in the world. But as Rav Chanan Wasserman explains at Kovetz Harum, the smaller we get, the more chashuv. So we're the pinnacle of all creation. And how are we defined in the Sifrei Machshava? As medaber, we are human beings who can speak, we can articulate our thoughts, take the thoughts and the emotions from the lev, and we can enunciate, articulate, and bring them into the world of actualization. We can speak and let everybody know, po, here I am. Where? Po, osios pe. Through my mouth, through my pe, I let you know, po, here I am. And thus explains Moshe Shapiro, the only part of the body where it's the skin turned outwards is the lips. The lips represent the movements of the lips, and Novi is thus called because of Nivs Vasayim. The movements of the lips, when he moves his lips, he speaks, the insides come out. Amela po peh, here I am when I open up my peh. Amela, how do I know how powerful all the words are? Well, now we have a parsha called Nedarim at the outset of Parshas Matos. That my power of speech as a medaber is so potent that I can change the metzias of something in the world of halacha just on the basis of the words escaping my lips. And that means what? If you like apples, but now you decide, you know what? Precious, you're going to go ahead and say, I don't want apples anymore. I'm going to stay away from steak. I'm going to stay away from ice cream. Too much ice cream in the summer. So you know what? You're going to make a nether. This ice cream now is forbidden to me. You just changed, you effected a new chalos, a new transformation in the metzias. That ice cream that used to be mutter, henceforth is now forbidden. You're now enjoying, you can't eat ice cream anymore, because, well, you didn't do anything. And ice cream is mutter. Ella what? Because of some words that you said, you could change the mitzvahs. That's how powerful your words are. So if we're going to spend all day in shul, all day davening, or the vast majority of the day, first thing we have to know is how powerful are my words? Why does God care so much about the words that of tefillah that come out of my lips? Why is the mitzvah satshuva as vidoy, either a component of the mitzvah satshuva, or like the Rambam defines it, as the etzem hagdorah, the very definition of tshuva? What is tzorch lizvanus? Tzorch lizvanus v'peh. The Rambam even says, charota yavagret, you have to articulate it. Kabbalah alaba, you want to say, henceforth I'm never going to do the sin again, you got to speak it out. Make it come into the world of reality and know that your words give something reality. The mouth is far mightier than the sword. You can change the chalos, you can change something that used to be mutter, and you can make it usher just on the basis of your words. Add to the Shem Yishmuel. The son of the Sukkot Shavu Rebbe, the Shem Yishmuel, Parshas Matos, Tafshin Pei Vav. The Shem Yishmuel, the son of the Sukkot Shavu writes, there's a Yalkut Shimoni that says, only the Jews have the power of Nedarim, and the Umas Olam, the Gentile nations of the world, they don't have this power of Nedarim. They can't go ahead and take ice cream and make it henceforth forbidden to them. Ask the Shem Yishmael why. He says, well, let's understand how Nedarim even work. How can I go ahead and say, you know what, this apple, this bowl of ice cream is going to be forbidden to me, mikanulaba, henceforth in time. It's forbidden exclusively to me, but it's permissible to you. How could something be hektish, consecrated for me, and it's not consecrated for you, mimonimshach? If it's hektish, it's hektish. Something that's shy to the base of mikdosh is sacred and consecrated to the holy temple, and we all have to treat it equally the same. All of a sudden now I can make an apple forbidden to me, and it's exclusively forbidden to me, but it's mutter permissible to everybody else. How do we explain such a thing? Explain to the Shem Yishmuel, because you have your own world, your own relationship with God. Mishnah tells us in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph, Chayav Adam Lomar B'Shvili Nivra Olam. Every individual has to say constantly, the world was created for me. If you're Matzil Neshama Achas B'Yisrael, Kilu Hitzil Es Kol HaOlam Kulo. If you destroy Chas V'Shalom, Kol HaHoreg Nevesh Chas V'Yisrael, Kilu Hichriv Es Kol HaOlam Kulo. Every Jew is a world. Hitler, Yimach Shmo, didn't destroy 6 million. He destroyed one person 6 million times over. He destroyed one world, 6 million worlds, over and over and over again. Since we all live in our own worlds, have our own unique relationships with God, in my world, I could say this apple, this bowl of ice cream is going to be forbidden to me. But for you, you have your own relationship with God. This Ashkacha Protis, by whom only by the Jewish people, by Klal Yisrael. Hashem relates to each and every one of us as individuals. Mamela, we can go ahead in our world, our unique Dalai Lama, our relationship with God, we could say this is forbidden to me and this is going to be permissible to me. But the Goyim don't have this lofty concept and ideal of Hashkacha Pratis. They only work within the realm of Hashkacha Klolis. That means they're all in one Olam. Each Goy doesn't have his unique relationship with God. There's a Hashkacha Klolis, a general Hashkacha, general divine watching and providence over all the Gentile nations of the world. And they're judged as an Am, as a nation. Mamela, as a nation, they can't say Bishvili Nevrolim. Every Jew could say Bishvili Nevrolim. The Goyim can't say that. So the Jews who have their own world, everyone's their own unique relationship with God, I could say in my world, this apple's butter. In your world, you could go out and continue eating apples. You could have your steak, you could have your ice cream, you could have whatever you want. The Goyim, it's either all mutter or it's either all asr. That's the Shem Yishmol's Hesper. Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah tells us, in Rosh Hashanah Tezayin Aman Aleph, by the din of Rosh Hashanah, kol echa nichnas lefanav kibnei mora. We all go as unique individuals, our own day of judgment mandates that we're all going in our own world, our own judgment day, between us as individuals, as unique people, and our relationship with God. And that's Atar Sinadara. The whole Indian, the Shem Yishmol is telling us about Torah Sodom is that in my world, I could take something that initially was permissible, and henceforth I can make it forbidden to me, because I am my own world, my own relationship with God. So now when you're about to get judged, and you have your own one-on-one unique relationship with God, everyone goes in front of God, Kibbenei Moron, like the sheep that the shepherd is now taking under the stick one by one, so too we're going in one by one by one guy. God says, well, know how powerful you can go ahead and change your world, you could change your life based on your power of speech. Know what Vidoi could do this Rosh Hashanah. Know what your Koach HaTfilah that comes out of the pen as a Medamer could do, could achieve, could effect this Rosh Hashanah. We can't go into davening, into doing Vidoi and Rosh Hashanah until we first cross over that all-important bridge of Atar Sinadarim that lets us know that we have our own unique relationship with God. God's going to judge us accordingly within the context of that one-on-one relationship with God. That's Judgment Day, that's Rosh Hashanah, that's the Yom HaDin. And within that context, the first realization, the first cognizance that we have to inculcate and imbue within our psyche, within our lev and nefesh, is that not only am I going to be davening, am I going to be doing tshuva, am I going to be speaking this Rosh Hashanah, but get to know first and foremost how powerful your koach hadibur really is. You're going to go on Ayodeya Torah Sodom, you know how powerful it is? You can't even start davening until you first make null and void all the vows. What do you mean the vows? So you know what, God, I regret it, take him away. You can't take him away until now you go in front of a beis din. And again, you're going to open up your mouth and speak the nusach latar sandara. It's not enough to think and to feel the regret. You have to actualize it, bring it to fruition, say the words in front of an actual beis din, and then you'll make them null and void. The husbands can do it for the wives, v'chulei, and you'll make them null and void. And now you're ready to start the power of koach hadibur all over again. Now that we got through atar sandarim, and we start the davening, and we're in Ma'ariv. And Ma'ariv kicks off like a regular yontif. After all, Rosh Hashanah is a yontif. Big machlokas aposkim, according to the vast majority. Bakes liyom chagena, we still treat it like a chag. And therefore, the same way, in simcha levabasar, based on Avri Psachim, Kaptesam and Aleph, there's an inyan to have basar, according to the vast majority of poskim on the Yom HaDin, because it's still a chag. Yes, it's a judgment day. But as we find from Nehemiah, Perches, it's still a day of celebrating. Go ahead and eat and drink. It's a day of celebration. It's a day that Rabbeinu Yonah says we go in confidence that we're going to be nitzel b'din. We're going to make it out. We're going to be okay. Let's eat and let's drink. But before we get there, and we have to daven ma'ariv, and we get to the end of Hashkevenu, Afroselenu Sukkah Shlemecha, and instead of Hishamru, which obviously is something we insert on a Shabbos. Haniyotif, we might say by Dabra Moshe Smodesh, we might say other things that might come and mention the Moadim. Here we say what? Tikva Chodesh Shofar Bakesel Yom Chagenu, Kichok Li Yisrohu Mishpat Lelohe Yaakov. Taken from Tehillah, Kapitol Pei Aleph, Psukim Dalet and Hey, we can't go into Shmon Esrei until we mention right here and now that it's Rosh Hashanah today, it's the first day of the new month, of the new year. Let's blow the shofar. At the time of the moon's renewal, why kichok li Yisrael? Who? It's the appointed time for our festive day. Mishpat lelohe Yaakov. It is a decree for Yisrael, a judgment day for the God of Yaakov. So that's how we start. That's how we get ready. Now, the obvious question is, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brochas, Daf Tes Amud Beis, we have a whole sig in the first chapter of Maseches Brochas, that you're not supposed to interrupt between Geula and Tefillah. And it's not just by Shacharis, it's even by Maariv. So we already mentioned what Gaol Yisrael, we mentioned the concept of a Geula, and now we're going into Shmoneh Esrei, how can we be Mafsik? So Hashki Venu, that entire paragraph, the Gemara discusses and says, Kegula Richta Damyo, it discusses the very notion, the concept of Geula of redemption. Hence, it doesn't, it's not considered an interruption. But why is this not an interruption? It must be the Mepharshim explain. And then this is also shayach to the Geula. And this is something that connects to the Geula. Because how is Hashem going to show us the Geulas here? So we know from Naf Torah, Shamas HaGodol, from Malachi, the last of the Treyasar, the last of the Nevi'im, at Perek Gimel Pasach of Gimel, Hinei Anochi Shalech Lechem Esel Yal Navi Lefrei Bo Yom Hashem HaGodol Ve'anora. And what is he going to do? He's going to blow the shofar. He's going to blow a shofar, and that shofar is going to signal the redemption, and we daven for it every day in Shmoneh Esrei Tekabe Shofar Godol Lechem Reseinu. And when he's going to blow the shofar, that's the sign of the Geula. And the Mela, of course it's not a hafsek, of course it's not considered an interruption. Because we're talking about the Mepharshim saying, what's the Pasach referring to? Hashem, Tikav Achor, Shofar, blow the shofar. But blow the shofar of the Geula, just like we have shofar now in Rosh Hashanah, and we also have a shofar b'shas the Geula. We're going to blow from the shofar. That is, and the symbol, the Yom Teruah of Rosh Hashanah. We're going to blow from a shofar l'asalavo in the future to herald the arrival of Mashiach. Let's learn a small piece in the end of chapter 31 of Rav Loza ben Hyrcanus is Pirkei Rav Lazar. Pirkei Lazar is talking about the Ayil of Yitzchak that took over in Yitzchak's stead as the sacrifice and the altar in the end of Parshas Vayera. And the Midrash, Pirkei Lazar goes on to explain how every part of this special, this unique ram, every part was used for something. Nothing went to Levatolo. And it even says the skin of this Ayil was used as Ezar Mosnov, as the loins that Eliyahu Navi girded himself with. Eliyahu would adorn himself with what? With the skin, the hides of the same Ayil. Eliyahu makes sense because he is, writes the Arizal, chapter 67, and say for Gagul in the Ramah Mipano, number 155 in Gagul in Hashemes, Pinchas Eliyahu is the Gilgul of Yitzchak. That's why there's a connection. Yitzchak was Akedas Yitzchak, who took over the Ayil. And who's going to blow the shofar of the Ayil Asalavo, Eliyahu Navi? The first remez, the first hint to Eliyahu Navi on the pages of Chumash, writes the Ramah Mipano in Asorah Mamoris Maimar Nefesh in 4:15. He writes, Vayika Chesa Ayil. Yitzchak was supposed to be on the altar. Instead, Avram Avinu found the Ayil. He saw the ram and he places the Ayil on the altar. Vayika Chesa Ayil. Ha'ayil is letters. Hey, Aleph Yud Lamed. Osios, the identical letters as Eliyahu. Except what? When he's called the Mevasa Gula, he's not called Eliyahu. Hini Anochi Shalachlem is Eliyahu Navi. Eliyah, Aleph Lamed Yud Hey. Ha'ayil. Vayika Chasayil. Instead of Yitzchak, we're going to have Eliyahu Navi. Who's going to bring us to the future? Yitzchak, Shabbos 89b, is the one who's going to save the Jews in the future. And who's the one who's going to be the harbinger of the future redemption? None other than Eliyahu Navi. How is he going to let us know that? He's going to blow the shofar. So we know that the ram had two horns. The first horn, and that was the horn on the left, was used by Shas Matan Torah. Hashem blew the shofar by Matan Torah. Which shofar? Where did God get the shofar? God says, I'm going to take the left horn of the ram that was in Yitzchak's stead offered by Avram on the Akedah. And that's what was blown on Har Sinai. Shenamar vayhi kol ha-shofar. And when is God going to use the right horn? The keren shel yimin hu godol min ha-smol. That's why many Mepharshim say. Every day we say in Shmoneh Esrei Tekab shofar godol. So some Mepharshim explain, it means the great shofar. Why is it the great shofar? Well, any shofar that's going to herald the redemption is a great thing. It's a big thing. So that's a great shofar. No. All the Mepharshim say, you know why it's called the shofar godol? And because God already used the shofar katan by Matan Torah. He used the left horn to blow b'shas Matan Torah, but the larger one is the one on the right. Keren shemin is goldom and asmova also let kobo lasalova b'kibet sholgolios v'hayi b'yomu yitoko b'shofar godol. Then God's going to take the right horn and he's going to have Eliyahu Navi blow the right horn. Of course Eliyahu Navi, because Eliyahu is the one to take over for Yitzchak. Yitzchak is gematria 208. Pinchas who became Eliyahu. Pinchas is gematria 208. Yitzchak gave us tefilas mincha and brocha 6b. Eliyahu Navi was answered with tefilas mincha. Yitzchak was was a korban, the first isha, the first fire. And Eliyahu, when he finishes the job of completing Yitzchak, goes up in a fire to Shemayim. Yitzchak is the first one who has a bris milah on day number 8. And who's the malach habris? Malachi, perakimel pasuk aleph. Eliyahu is the malach habris. First place Eliyahu is subtly alluded to in the pages of the Torah, specifically in Akedas Yitzchak. Yitzchak gave us the isle of Yitzchak. And Eliyahu is going to take the right horn, the shofar gadol, and he's going to blow from it to herald the future redemption. Tiku b'chodesh shofar, but Hashem used the shofar gadol. That's gula. That's not a hefsik. That's how we go into Shmoneh Esrei. That is a chelik of the gula, because we're talking about blow the shofar that shayach to the gula. That's a shofar that Eliyahu is going to blow the asalav. And now let's take a closer look at that pasuk. Turning again to that pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Payal. Tikkum Achod Shofar, Pakesi Yechigena writes the Sfas Emes. Yes, it's a chag, but after all, how can you really be besimcha? Do you enjoy, are you besimcha on Rosh Hashanah? The way you are in the Chagim, on the Moedim, on the Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, where there's a mitzvah daraisa simchas yantiv. Yes, some opinions do opine, do posit, that there is indeed a mitzvah simchas yantiv in Rosh Hashanah, but it's clearly not the same. You're not supposed to go out and be joyous and dancing, writes the Sfas Emes, you're right, it's a chag. But it's pakesa liyom chageno, kisoi, covered over a little bit. Not just because the moon is covered over, first day of the month, after all the waxing and waning of the lunar cycle, so yes, it's small. It's not just the moon's renewal. It's pakesa liyom chageno, and Rosh Hashanah writes the Sfas Emes, bimachase, cover over the fact that it's a chag. It is a chag, feel it inside that it's a chag. Go out and have your meat and enjoy the suda, but know that it's not the same chag, after all, it's a yom adin. In fact, there's a din on the regolim as well. We know that they're Sholosh Regolim, they're Yemei Simcha, but the same mission Rosh Hashanah 16a says, with Pesach Nidon El Atu, we get judged on the grain. B'Shavuos Atzeres, we are Nidon Al Peiros Eilon. On Sukkos on Chag, we Nidon El Amayim, we get judged on the water. So there's an element of din, but the Ikar is the Simcha. On Rosh Hashanah, it's Hafuch. On Rosh Hashanah, the Ikar is the din, but Avada, certainly there's Simcha, there's a Chag, but writes a Sassemus, but Kesach, covered over a little bit. And now let's look at the Hemshech LaPasik and listen to a gorgeous briskarov. Tiku v'chodesh shofar b'kes liyom chageinu. Why? Ki chok li Yisrael. Oh, it's a chok. It's a chok. So what is a chok? A chok is usually a decree. It's a decree for the Jewish people. Mishpat lelo Yaakov. It's a judgment. It's a mishpat for the God of Jacob. So which one is it? Is it a chok? Is it a mishpat? What's going on over here? It's a stirum in A-B. It's oxymoronic. Chukim, we know our statutes that we don't understand the Tom. Paradum is the classic Zos Chukas HaTorah. We don't know the true reason for the red heifer and for all the dinim. So that's a chok. Ela ha-mishpotim, how to treat an avid. Every Jew's got to go all out for your avodim and beinodim lechavero that are bandied about all throughout Pashas Mishpotim. Mishpotim are things we understand. Kibbut Aveim, Mitzvah Sichli. Rambam writes in chapter 6 of his Hagdama, Aperish Mishnayis 2, obviously, we find that there's something called mitzvah sechiyas, mitzvah shimiyas, mitzvah that I understand based on my intellect. Don't kill, don't steal, keep it aveim, honor your parents. And then there are mitzvah shimiyas, which are chukim, that I don't understand, paraduma, bas, v'cholov, and the like. So which one is it? Is it a chok? Is it a mishpah? What's going on here? Writes the Briskarov, and it's bought by Rina Sitzik and so many other sforim, famous Briskarov. We're all familiar with perhaps the most famous line of the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva and Perek Gimel Halacha Daled, where the Rambam starts out the Alochav Bishetkiya Shofar Rosh Hashanah Gezeres HaKasuv. Even though we know that blowing the Shofar Rosh Hashanah is a Gezeres HaKasuv, the Torah says you got to do it, you got to do it. But Remez Yeshpo, there's still another idea. And what's that? Kolomer, as if to say, Ur Ur Yeshenim Shinaskem, you sleeping ones, wake up from your sleep. And those who are immersed in slumber, which is a deeper type of sleep, it's time to wake up. It's a time, get up, wake up, and swallow the coffee. Do tshuva, repent, repent, sin no more. Remember your Creator. That is the remez in Tkiyah Shofar. Asks the Briskarov, where's the Rambam getting this from? I understand. Rav Sajigal tells us there are 10 ideas behind blowing the shofar. Other Rishonim also have their respective lists of all the varied, diverse reasons why we blow the shofar. But where does the Rambam get that? He's writing this Lahalocha now in his magnum opus that's discussing normative halacha. So he really wants me to think about this. Where's his Makaras, the Briskarov? The Noser Kalim don't bring the source. Where's the source, right? The Briskarov, it's this Pasuk. Tikka v'achor shofar b'kesi yogena. Why? Because the Rambam's bothered. Ki chok li Yisrohu mishpat lelo ha-Yakov. Which one is it? Is it a chok? Is it a mishpat? Ela must be the Rambam. Look at the posuk and Tillim and said it's both. David HaMelech is referring to it as both. That means blowing the shofar, tikka b'chodesh shofar, is number one a chok, and it's number two a mishpat. What's the chok? Gezeiras HaKosef. We don't really know why God says this is a day of Yom Teruah, this is a day of blowing the shofar. That's the beginning of the halacha. Even though tikka shofar Hashon is a gezeiras HaKosef, that means the Torah says you gotta blow a shofar. That's it. We gotta blow a shofar. No question. Questions asked, Brochus 33b, Megillah 25a, it's a gezeira, we don't ask questions. That's a gezeira sakosa, that's chok. Aye, but it's also a mishpat. How could it be both? Mitzad echad, it's a chok, it's a gezeira sakosa. Mitzad sheni, it's also a mishpat. So what's the mishpat? It's a wake-up call. You blow a shofar and everybody wakes up. Mishpat Leilav Yaakov, everybody wakes up. It's a call to tshuva. It's a clarion call, trumpeting to the world over, wake up, get out of the sleep and repent. Say, yes, it's a chok, gezeiras HaKosef, mitzvah nechot, and it's a mishpat, there's a reason, and what's the reason, tshuva? The question is, but how do you know? How do you know that's the reason? Lo yecharado, like the kitzur quotes in Kuf Chav Ches, the famous posuk in Amos, Par Gimel, posuk Vav, how can you hear the shofar not tremble? Everyone's got to tremble when you hear the shofar. It's a wake-up call to tshuva. But the Brisker Rav is not even done, because we know the Ramban and so many other Rishonim tell us in Chumash. What's the difference between Yisrael and Yaakov? Yisrael is when the Jews are behaving. When Jews do Ritzono Shemakom, the Ritzon of Hashem, then we're called Yisrael. That's the loftiest status. That's Yisrael. It's Lashon Sarara, dominion, sovereignty. That's Yisrael. Lirosh. Lirosh. We got the Rosh. We're Barosh. We're on top. Osios Lirosh. Osios Yisrael. Yaakov is the Akev as opposed to Yisrael. Lirosh. The top. Ekev is Yaakov. Ochas be'ekev ochiv. And that means what? He's the ik v'sod the Mashicha. That's the ekev, that's the heel, that's at the bottom. When we misbehave and we have to do tshuva, we're Yaakov. Writes the Brisker Rav, beautiful. Tikka b'chodesh shofar, blow the shofar Rosh Hashanah. Here we're going into Rosh Hashanah davening to the Amidah service on the heels of this pasuk. Tikka b'chodesh shofar, why are we doing it? Because it's a chok li Yisrael. What's a Yisrael? If you're a tzaddik who's doing the Ratzon Hashem, you don't really have to do tshuva. So for you, it's a chok. Why are you blowing shofar? It must be because it's Gzeir Sakosa. The Torah says you gotta blow shofar Rosh Hashanah, you gotta blow shofar. It's a chok for Yisrael. If you're like Yisrael, then for you it's a chok. But if you're Yaakov, if you're all the way in the bottom and this was a bad summer and you did Averus and you gotta do tshuva, then for you it's not a chok. You know quite well why you gotta hear the shofar. Ki mishpat lelo hey Yaakov. If you're a Yaakov this Rosh Hashanah, not a Yisrael like most of us, then we gotta be woken up to tshuva. It's not a chok anymore for you, it's a mishpat. Ur Yashayna Mishinaschem. The key to the double. And thus we are blowing the shofar, and now we are ready for Rosh Hashanah davening. So now that we're ready for Rosh Hashanah davening, and now we get into the Shmoneh Esrei. Oh, it's going to get kishmak. So we know, and we'll have to talk about Zachrinu L'chaim, Elachavitz B'chaim, and all the extra insertions, v'chulei, and that's something that's not just Shaiyat Rosh Hashanah. Avada, that's going to be all throughout Aseres Mitzvah, and we'll have to talk about it. Let's get to the part now when we start the Kedushas Hashem of what the Suras Hayom is all about, and that's after V'nem Onat Alachios Meis. Ata Kodosh, Shimcha Kodosh, God, you're holy. Your name is holy. And how are we going to close this section of the Shmoneh Esrei? And not with Hakel HaKadosh, but as Rabbeinu Bachai writes in Kana Kemach, in his Perish al HaTaira, as the Avodram and all the Rishonim point out, the Kobol Dor Cheschayim, we're going to conclude Kodosh Atav and Rosh Shemech, Baruch Hashem HaMelech HaKadosh. Throughout the year we say Hakel HaKadosh. Over here we're going to say Melech HaKadosh. Why? Because God is the ruler of the universe. He is Melech HaKadosh. That's the Avodah Seyom. Even when you read the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, the bottom is 16a. We know we have three sections to our Shmoneh Esrei. We have the Malchios, the Zechronos, and the Shofros. Why? So the Gemara says, Emor Lefanei, God says to the Jewish people, say in front of me, and again, you can't just think it, you gotta say it, you gotta speak it, bring it to the world of actualization, bring it to the world of reality. I want you to say Malchios Psukim, that highlight God's sovereignty and His kingship all over the world. Kedesha Tanlichuni Aleichem, so that you make me the king over you. Zechronos, so that I'll remember you, Letovo. And how are we going to do it with the shofar? So shofar is merely the means that I'm going to remember you as you say the Psukim of Malchios. But clearly the ikar, the primary thing is, as we emphasize repeatedly throughout the davening, it's HaMelech HaKodesh, it's HaMelech HaMishpat. God is the king of the universe. It's all about being Mamlech HaKodesh. Baruch Hu. And thus we continue. That's what a king does. First thing a king does is he's the king. He instills fear. We tremble in front of a king. And we have pachad, we have ema, we have yira. And then give us the covet. What do you mean give us the covet? I give you Yerushalayim the covet. Is this about us? Is this about God? Answer is, of course, it's all about God. What are we doing when we daven a Rosh Hashanah? In the Siddur HaGra, the Siddur Ishei Yisrael, one of the Talmidim from Beis Midrash HaGra, he wrote a psicha to the Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah. And he starts out quoting an Avu Jerom, it's a famous Avu Jerom. Why do we begin our Shemoneh Esrei and all these Tfilos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Uvachein, Uvachein? What do you need Uvachein for? How about starting out, Yaluch HaSela, Hashem, you're Kaddosh, Shimcha Kaddosh. You know what, Hashem? Tein Pachtecha, Hashem, Elokeinu, Kom HaSecha. You know what, Hashem? Tein Kavan, Hashem, Liamecha. Uvachein. What's Uvachein? And so too you should do this. What do we need this word for? We don't waste words in Shemoneh Esrei. Now we have to remember, Anshei Knesset Gedolah, when they put together the Nusach of our davening, the Nefesh HaChaim already writes in the beginning of Shar Beis, the Nefesh HaChaim writes a Chaim Eloshev, every Kavona Amukah, every profound thought and idea that the Arizal writes through Akisvei Arizal, that the Ramakar Moshe Kornavoro, that the Rashash, Siddur Rashash, every holy Makubal, and you could have Sforim, you could go to Sforim stores in Yerushalayim, and you'll see Mamish Siddurim, I know Makubal, the davening from a Siddur that's Mamish this thick. And that's just the daily Siddur. Other times he has 3-4 Siddurim out, all the Kavanas that are going, you can imagine how many Kavanas are going on at every line of davening. Anshei Knesset Gedolah, the members of the Great Assembly, 120 members, Umehem Hayu, Nevi'im, Chag, Yisachari, Malachi, Mordechai, yeah, Nevi'im that were counted amongst them, they had every Kavana, every possible intent that you could ever imagine, that all the most pious, devout Kabbalists throughout history have thought of, writes Chaim Eloshev, they had all those covenants in mind, in every single word that they put in our tefillos. But more than that, writes the Chassam Sefer, in Chelek Beis of Drushas Chassam Sefer, Lulu de Mistafini says, if I weren't afraid to suggest such a thing, he propounds the following Chiddush. He says, I want to suggest, writes the Chassam Sefer, that they were having in mind covenants that they themselves were not even aware of. That God was having them write words that they themselves didn't know all the kavanas. That God was directing their attention to think about this word when they put it into the Siddur, and even they weren't fully aware of all the kavanas at that time. That's the chiddush of the Chassam Sefer. Either way, big things are happening every single word. Can't imagine what's going on in every word that was written al pi nevuah and al pi ruach hakodesh. So what's uvachei? They're not going to waste a word. Why do I need the word uvachei? Writes the Abu Dra, V'tiknu lomer v'chein tein pachtecha, because Esther in Perek Dalet Posek Tesai in the Megillus, Esther said what? Uvachein avo el ha-melech. Since Esther said, uvachein, and I'm going to go in front of the king, when she was going to invite him to the party, and ultimately that's what saved the Jewish people, since now it's the Yom HaDin, so when Esther went in front of the king Achashverosh, she said, uvachein avo el ha-melech. When we now approach the king of all kings, the melech malchei ha-melochim, now that's the real king, not Cecil DeMille's king of kings. We're going in front of the king of all kings, and now we have to do what? We have to go in with uvachein. The first thing we start, the Kedushas Yom is uvachein, just like Esther was uvachein avo el ha-melech. So we're now going in uvachein. But adds the Magid Tzedek a gorgeous pshat. The Magid Tzedek, according to the Talmid HaGra, says that there's more to it than just the Avodah Zarah. It's not just because we're borrowing that phraseology. When Esther went and put her life on the line, and she went in, what did she say? What was the end of the pasuk? She says, "Asher lo kedas." She wasn't invited in. She put her life on the line, and she knew that she wasn't supposed to go in at that time. Maybe a few days from now, writes the Gronis commentary, Megillas Esther. But right now, she wasn't supposed to go in, and still she went in, and she saved all of the Jewish people with that. Pilei ployim, writes the Magid Tzedek in a shir, in a siddur, Sharar Achamim, beautiful. Magid Tzedek says, on Rosh Hashanah, we also go in, Asher lo kedas. We know we're not ready. We know we didn't do adequate tshuva. We know we're not properly prepared to go in front of the melech malchei melochim. It doesn't make a difference. The same way Esther went in asher lo kedas. Even though I wasn't invited, you know what, God? I know I'm not ready. I know I didn't purge myself of all impurities and imperfections. I know I didn't cleanse myself of all my foibles and all my faults and imperfections. But you know what? I'm going in anyway. I'm going to go in Melech Malchim Elohim. Uvachain tein pachtecha. Uvachain. Why am I going in with Uvachain? The same way yesterday went in Uvachain Asholo Kedas. I'm going to go in Asholo Kedas. But listen to this edition by Rav Aaron David Goldberg and his Perish on the Masor. Rav Aaron David Goldberg, Rosh Hashifa from Tells, adds a beautiful Nakuda. Magid Tzedek just says we're not ready, but it's more than we're not ready. How did Esther go in when she saved the lives of all the Jewish people? She went in after she fasted for 3 consecutive days. And now the Ibn Ezra already asked the Kasher. Mirsky discusses it in Agyone Halacha, Chelek Aleph, Han the Moedim, page 274. He also fleshes out the question. Esther, we know, was loved, exquisite beauty. She's listed as one of the 4 most beautiful women that ever lived. Megillah. Tesva, Vaman Alf, Arba, Yaf, 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 Yes, or Yeshua Makarch earlier in 13a says Yerach Rokas. She had a green complexion. She wasn't really green. Writes the Gronis commentary, Megillah says she was so sickened by having to live with Achashverosh. She was throwing up all the time. Amela, she was green. But Amanda, she wasn't really green. But then you have to take off Esther and put on Vashti. But the Gemara says Esther, she was beautiful. How beautiful is she going to look after she fasts and doesn't eat and drink for 3 consecutive days? Ask the Ibn Ezra, what are you doing, Esther? You want to save the Jewish people? So you know what? Put on the best makeup ever. Put on your nicest dress and then go in front of the king. After all, he likes you for your external beauty. Ella what? She wants to show it has nothing to do with my beauty. It's because of my premius, not my chitzanius. It's because I'm motzei schein be'enei Achashverosh. And how am I going to prove it to you? I'm going to fast together with you for 3 days and 3 nights. I'm going to do tshuva. And then you're going to see that even though I'm not going to look my best after fasting for 3 days, and I'm not going to have the best facial color, I'm not going to go in with any makeup, and still I'm going to save the Jewish people. Right? So Rav Dov Goldberg, Gishmak. And now what are we doing? And we're going in for Rosh Hashanah, and we still smell like a virus. And we're going in and we're not fully cleansed. And still, uvach. We started a Shemoneh Esrei Kedusha, say, yo, I'm going in with the same Uvachain that Esther went in with. Even though I know Hashem, I don't look so good. Even though I'm not putting on my best clothing even perhaps. But you know what? I didn't cleanse myself with Ruchanias, but Hashem, you love us no matter what. We Paskin our Meir Kedusha 36a. We're called the Banu to Hashem. Afilu K'sheinu Mugadim. Even when we misbehave, God says, you're my sons. I love you no matter what. We're always called Banu L'makom. We start a Shemoneh Esrei Uvachain. The same way Esther went in Asher Lo Kedas, even though she wasn't ready for it. She wasn't invited in. Even if you don't feel ready for a Shoshonah, we go in what? We go in on the heels of Uvachain, the same way Esther went in. That's how we start all the paragraphs. It's not an extra word, Uvachain, and so too. We don't need to mention it. We do, because we need to start the beginning paragraphs of Shemoneh Esrei with that same message. Go in saying, you know what, Hashem, I'm not ready. So why does Hashem want to hear it? Because in the end, we're not doing it for ourselves, we're doing it for Him. Hashem, give us covet, not because we need the covet. Make Yerushalayim beautiful again. And give us a basic finish. Why? Do it for you. Don't do it for us. Give covet to Klai Yisrael as a nation, because that's the covet of Hashem, because we're your people. You chose us at our Sinai. Hashem, do it for you, because you're the Melech. That's what it's all about. That's why writes the Rokeach. The Rokeach has a 2-volume work, his Perish on the Siddur. Uvachein Tein Patecha writes the Rokeach. He goes through, you can't imagine, there's unbelievable Ramazim in the Rokeach here. He goes through every paragraph, how many words are in that specific paragraph corresponding to different psukim all over Tanakh. Every cheshbon was made when they put together the tefillos. So why did they use the word of Achain? Because the gematria of the word of Achain, the gematria is Ona Hashem. Ona Aleph Nun Aleph is gematria 52. Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei 26. 26 and 52 is gematria 78. Uvachain Vav Veis Chof Nun gematria 78. Writes the Rokeach. How do you start out Shemoneh Esrei? Ona Hashem. The same way the famous Maisa with the Chiddush Yarim. Chiddush Yarim told his Hasidim, you want to get answered all your tefillos when you say Hallel, have a mind on Hashem. So the Hasidim went on Hashem Atzlichana. They weren't Matzliach, so they went to the grandson, the Sfasemis, and they said, "We listened to Yehoshua Hayli Gazedi, and we said on Hashem Atzlichana. We weren't Matzliach." He says that's not what the Zedi meant. He meant have kavana in on Hashem Kini Avdecha. Not on Hashem Atzlichana. Have a mind on Hashem Kini Avdecha. I'm your Eved. That's how you get answered. Meaning what? Hashem, you're the Adon Olam. I am your Eved. You want to get answered in Shemoneh Esrei? Uvachain, Uvachain, Hashem. I start everything with what? Uvachain, Gematria, on Hashem. On Hashem, but on Hashem Kini Avdecha. Adds the Kolbo in the Orchas Chayiv. Uvachain is also Gematria, Anivahu. Anivahu is the same Gematria. Tosfos writes in Sukkah Mem Hei Amud Aleph. And what is Anivahu? Imo Anochi Betzara, we're in this together. That's how we start out these paragraphs. Hashem, we're in this together. On Hashem, Keni Abdech, I'm your Eved, but I know you're with me in Galus Hashem. I know we're here together. On Hashem is Gamacha Uvachain. Uvachain writes the Kobo and writes the Rechashayim is Gamacha Anivahu. And we are together in this. Hashem, that's how I start Shmonesha, because whatever is going on, whatever I'm asking for is not for my covet. Whatever I'm asking for, Hashem, is for you. And now we go back to the Psicha to Tfilas Rosh Hashanah. Habitu Rei, he writes, how Kadmeinu were masakin in the Tfilas Rosh Hashanah, then it's all about Makoshes Kvod Ashchina, she is Gala Kvod of Atira Machusa. All throughout the Shmoneh Esrei, what's it all about? Tein Patacha, Koma Secha, Emascha, Koma Shabrasa. Go ahead and let the world recognize that you are the only God, and the way that people, like we know, when you had the Iron Dome missiles, and supposedly one of the terrorists that was taken hostage says, what do you want from us? Yeah, we got good missiles. Yeah, we're shooting it from pretty close by, and we're aiming at our targets, and we know they know where they're going, and their God is moving it away. And they know that our God's moving it away. Hashem, show them once and for all, that's the rule, and that's what's going to happen in the future. So that's what we're davening for. Hashem, we're davening for the Malchus of Hashem Yisbarach. And that's, writes the Talmud of the Gra, the Iker Bakashasenu is Vieda Ko Paul Kiata Paalto, Vioven Kayatsur Kiata Yatsoto. You made us all. You're in control. You're the Melech. And the Melech says that's why Dorshi Rishumas tell us Elul this Rosh Yitevas and Ila Dodi Vidodi Li. Perish, what's it all about? If you go into davening Shemoneh Esrei, that it's not about me, it's all about God. I'm going to go in front of the Melech, and I'm going to make myself on Hashem Keni Avdecha. I'm going to say, I'm the Eved, and he's the Melech. I'm going to go in as, I am the Eved, and he is the Melech. Then what? He says, just like Baba Kama Tzadi Beis of an Aleph. Kol writes the Talmud of the Gra. What are you saying? Arushon, I got to save myself. Yeah, but Hashem is with us. Uvachain. Uvachain is Anivahu. We're in this together. Gemara, the end of Megillah. We go into Golus. The Shechin is in Golus with us. Hashem, I want you to go ahead and show your strength, your omnipotence, your omnipresence to the Gantz of Hell. Show it to the world. Show everybody your Shalayim is the city and bring back the Beis Hamikdash and blow the shofar gadol. Show them that we're the chosen people. And how? But what about me? Don't I have to ask for my life to be saved? Don't I need to ask for Chaya, Bini, and Mizoni? Don't I need to ask for livelihood? This Rosh Shana Teretz as well, but we're in it with God. So if we daven for God, if we daven for God to go out of Golus, if we daven for Hashem's Malchus, writes the Talmud of Grul in the Psicha, then who netatchila? But maybe we're going to get answered. You don't have to ask in Shmoneh. Where's the tefillas in Shmoneh Esrei? God, save my life. Yes, we ask Achin l'chaim, but what do we say? Laman chalukim chayim. Even when we ask for life at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, it's not for us; it's for God. But aren't we missing the boat? Then we have to daven for Panosa this year. Then we have to daven for children and for health, gesund. Where is that in my Shmoneh Esrei? Not only that, he says, it's not anywhere. It's not supposed to be here. How am I going to get an answer? Teretz is, we're in it together. Uvachain, ani vahu. It's me and God. Imo nochi b'tzorno. I daven for God, and I need the same things. Mamela, I'm going to get an answer. Who talk close to Dabra? So where is this Yeshua going to come from? As he says, the Avoda is based on the Pasuk in Yoel. The Pasuk says, as the Nefesh HaChaim and Shar Beis and Perek Yedalef. He says, the Pasuk in Yoel Anovi and Perek Beis, Pasuk Yedalef says, Hashem Nosen Kolol Fnei Chelo. Hashem, I'm first explaining, he sent out the warnings through his prophets in front of the troops before he sent his troops to invade the land. Read Yoel Perek Beis. We're talking about the locust, the Arba. God sends a plague of locusts into the land. And why is this the inyan of what Tefillah is all about? Writes Rechaim Elojin in Nefesh Rechaim, Shar Beis, chapter 11. Haroma zehaikra gadol sh'inyan ha'tefillah. And you know what all of Tefillah, the whole year, is all about? If you have a soldier in war, you have an Israeli atzahal, a chayal, in the Israeli army, and he's giving up his life to save the entire Jewish people. For what? For Kvod HaMelech. He does it because that's what the king wants. He does it to save his nation. He does it to save the Jewish people. It's all about to capture the other kingdom. Atinasi Machuso, Kiroimo La'odam Hayashur, to make all of Kavanoso, Vitor Mashot, so just to give Kavan to Hashem, the Melech Malchim Elohim. Tefillah is not about you. Put aside all of your needs and daven just for God. Daven just for Him. I know a case of somebody who was married 20 years without children. They went to an Adam Godel b'Yisrael. Adam Godel said, go to that soul and daven. Don't say a word about asking for a child. Don't daven for children. Go to the Kotel and daven three times a day. Hashem, I accept if you don't want to give me children, I'm davening just for you. And just daven for the first time now in 20 years. Hashem, I'm davening, give me the call to just accept your gezerah, accept your decree, and I'm not going to ask for anything. And all they did, this couple, they davened every day for a few days straight. Shachas and Chamarav, Hashem, we're just davening for you. They came back and they had a child after 20 years. They gave up all their own needs and desires, and they totally said, we just want to daven for Hashem. Einenu haros benusach tefilas Rosh Hashanah, continues Rechaim Elasha. Shumasudur meirosho atzofa rak akvul nachusa yisbarach shemo, she tis'ala kibatchila kodem chet adam arishon. And that's the whole nusach of the davening. It's all about God, 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 I say lamancha, Hashem is the melech, ha-melech ha-kodosh. It's all about God, and who are we? We are chelo. That's why nasan Hashem, nasan kolu lefnei chelo. What is that kol? We have a kol Yaakov, we have a kol atvila. Hashem will go ahead and pass over His voice and save us and answer us. If we make ourselves chelo, we make ourselves His troops. Just like the grasshoppers, the locusts are the loyal locusts. And just like we've spoken about by plague number 8, that it's not coincidental that what was plague number 8? 8 we know is Lamala Menateva. Who does Hashem refer to as my troops? The locusts. If you look at the bottom of grasshoppers, we know the only kosher insect in the world is a grasshopper. I know you have to be Tamani. And in Nina Basora, and in, I even just read recently an article about certain countries, it's back again, big delicacies, chocolate covered grasshoppers and the like. Again, you have to be a Tamani. If you have a Masaira, why is grasshopper the only kosher insect? You look on the underside, the belly of a grasshopper, and you'll see the Os Ches. Os Ches, Chelo. It's marked, it's stamped as a troop of God. And that's Chelo. The troops, they do whatever God wants. Arba, Aleph Reish Beis Hei, backwards is Hashem Bara. They recognize Hashem created the world. That's the Arba, that's the locust. Not only that, the Baal HaTurim says the word Vayonach only appears twice in Chumash. Vayonach Hashem B'yom HaShvi, Hashem rested on day number 7. It doesn't say anywhere in the Parsha, anywhere in the Medrash, that the animals of Arov rested on day 7. It doesn't say the frogs of Tzardaya, the lice of Kenim, nobody else rested. Vayonach Ha'arbe B'chol Gvul Mitzrayim, they rested, right to the Baal HaTurim, they rested on Shabbos. Why? Because we're the troops, we're the army of God. And if our God, we're never. The troops, the soldiers give up everything for the God, for the king. And if God rests on a day number 7, we have to rest on day number 7. They have a ches stamped on their underbelly. A grasshopper, by the way, the Gemara on Shabbos, is not muksa on Shabbos. Grasshopper is the only insect that's kosher because it belongs to God. And is a loyal servant of God. Backwards, Hashem bara. No coincidence. Who was the first real Eved Hashem in the sense of he gave over his whole life for God? Akedas Yitzchak. Akedas Yitzchak. Yitzchak, Gematria 208. Arbe, Gematria 208. They're also in Eved. They're chelo. They're soldiers. This past summer, I was driving with my wife. We stopped in Woodbury Commons or something, and we're driving back to Kem Simchon Route 17. And I'm telling you, it's not every day. A grasshopper is attached, a huge green grasshopper. Now, we know, everyone knows stories about Rechaim Kineski, but probably the single most famous story, he wrote in Siach HaSodah, the laws of grasshoppers. Now, Rav Chaim needs to know what a grasshopper looks like. There aren't too many grasshoppers in Bnei Brak. There's not so much grass in Bnei Brak. He needed to know what a grasshopper looked like. So what happened? As he's riding a grasshopper, a big, fat, green, juicy grasshopper, lands on his windowsill, right where he's riding the Sefer. He looks up, and there's a big grasshopper in Bnei Brak on his windowsill. He looks at it, scrutinizes it, and he analyzes it, and he writes about it in the Sefer when he writes about the laws and the wings and the legs of the grasshopper. And meanwhile, a few minutes later, go by. The second he finishes, the grasshopper goes on its way. A few minutes go by, he realizes he has to look at it again. No problem, the grasshopper comes right back, sits on the window, so looks at it again, writes down what he needs to know, and then it goes on its way. Famous story was going around, the story's not over. There was a rav of a small shul, Mnei Brak, heard the story, he said, oh, another crazy Rechaim story, come on, it's not true. We know the Baal Shem Tov said, come on, all the Hasidus and Rebbe stories, if you believe him, you're a fool. And if you don't believe him, you're an apikudas. Because all the stories, right, they could be true. And this Rav got up and showed, he says, come on, we know it's not true. Grasshoppers aren't. He says, I've never seen in my life a grasshopper in Abraham. I'm sure the grasshopper didn't sit on Rechaim's windowsill. Come on, it's not true. And he got up and said this story. And when he went home that day, his entire kitchen was filled with tons of grasshoppers. And he took that as a siman min hashamayim, and he went and asked Rechaim Kineski. And I know someone who asked Rechaim Kineski if the story was true. And he says, yes, it's true. And this Rav asked Mechila from Achayim that he didn't believe the story, and the story actually happened. Why is this story with grasshoppers? Why do grasshoppers? Because they're the troops of God. Anyway, their mom is so dedicated. This big grasshopper landed on the passenger side, the side view mirror. And my wife was sitting in the passenger seat, and we're on Route 17. And now, you know, you're 65 miles per hour. We're not going to get into Dinah Machos. Dinah, if Heinemann says you could always go up to 10 miles over the limit because they wouldn't pull you over. Other postcards say, yeah, you could go fast. You're taking the risk of a ticket. Let's just say I was going around 75. And this grasshopper was not letting go. This grasshopper was clinging. Mamish, that's a troop, put his life on the line. He wouldn't leave the best. And we felt, my wife says, I feel bad because we're 75 miles. And the grasshopper, the wings are flying all over. And it's stuck. Mamish, it's not moving. How does the creature 75 miles and now it's not going anywhere? My wife says, I feel bad. Maybe it's Abel Achayim. I said, I think he's enjoying the ride. My wife says, no, Rachmanis, you got to listen to your wife. When the wife says, pull over and ask directions, you got to listen to your wife. You know how many pit stops at gas stations were saved because of GPS systems now? Husbands don't have to listen to their wives. Now we got an anti-Semitic woman living inside the GPS system, getting the husbands lost by ourselves. I'm an alkaponim. This ground, my wife says, you got to pull over. I think the grasshopper is suffering. So she makes us pull over on the highway. We get off, we let the grasshopper, and he still doesn't want to go. We're trying to, that's a soldier, a warrior. Doesn't let go. That's Melech, Malchim, and that's Rosh Hashanah. And we're a Melech. Why are we constantly emphasizing Hashem is the Melech? Because that's what we have to do. Make ourselves a father, make ourselves chelo. Hashem says, Kol Hashem lifnei chelo. I'm going to listen to your Kol HaTfilo. If you make yourself a soldier, that's Rosh Hashanah. I want the pachad, I want the ema. Yes, I want to recognize Hashem as the melech. That means I'm an eved. If I'm an eved, I'm a grasshopper. I recognize that's it. I'm going to get all my tulas answered. Where do we see that? Listen to a Rambam very quickly. Rambam in Hilchas Malachim, he talks about the halacha that anyone who's soft-hearted can't go out to war. And writes the Rambam, when you go out to war, Mechemes Mitzvah, you can't be afraid, and you can't worry about your wife and the house, etc. And writes the Rambam at the very end of the 7th chapter, Hilchas Malachim, Brak Zayin Halacha Tezvav. V'chol anuchem v'chol libo b'lo pachad. Anyone who fights for Hashem, without any fear, v'tiyah kavanos l'kadish es Hashem bovad. If you go out and you're not concerned about yourself, you're going out like a diehard Israeli soldier, is putting his life on the line just to sanctify the name of God. If you go out to Mechemes Mitzvah L'Shem Shemayim, you can rest assured nothing bad's going to happen. No evil is going to befall you. Now, what do you mean you're going out to war? It's scary. God says, you go out to war. And you go out, the Kaddish, my name. If you go out for me, I'll take care of you. And you'll go back home and you'll have a house and you'll have children and you'll be guaranteed all of Haz and guaranteed all of Haba. That's Rosh Hashanah. What do you mean? Don't I have to cleanse myself? No, V'chein, I go in. Shalom Kadas, I'm not ready. I don't smell nice. I don't look good. I'm going in. I didn't do tshuva. You're going anyway, like an Esther. And you're going recognizing what repeatedly? Hashem is the Melech HaKadosh. He's the Melech. And if he's the Melech, and then we know it's all going to work out well. We go in with the confidence that if I make myself a grasshopper, I make myself an eved, a loyal servant, and then no matter what, that's it. Hashem's going to go in and take care of us. One final point. In the end of the day, we have to understand this concept of Malchus and being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How is that going to rescue us? There's another idea at play as well. Back to Pirkei Avot in chapter 3. Amein Tzava, Amein Machaneh, if there's no army, then who's the king going to rule over? Ein melech b'lo'am, writes Rabbeinu Bachai, and Kanakemach. One of the reasons we blow the shofar is to be Malach Hashem, writes the Rabbeinu Bachai, and Kanakemach, and Yoni Rosh Hashanah. Ki ein melech b'lo'am, so you have to be Maramis, to Machusi, is Baruch, on this day created the world, and he is the melech. And that's V'yisku b'shofar v'chulei. Everybody recognizes Asad Jagom incarnating the king. This is one of the reasons of blowing the shofar. That's why we go into Shmon Esrei, talking about Tkiya Shofar. And that's why we say the Machios, Ubumeh ubeshofar. It needs to be accompanied with the shofar, Umamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein Melech B'lo'am. And what's this idea all about? One closing thought. We have two ways we're going to be saved, and two ways we're going to get our tefillahs answered. We don't find in the Shmon Esrei any bakoshes miyachodos, Hashem, give me livelihood, give me children, give me health, give me money. Where's the list? How it says, just be Malach Hashem. I want the aim, I want the year, I want the pachan, I want to feel like I'm a grasshopper, I'm a loyal servant, I'm a loyal locust, I'm a chayil, I'm a soldier, I give over everything for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mahalach approach number one is, uvachein, ani vahu, it's me and God, we're together in this. If I daven for God, I'm going to get answered. But another concept, and that's at play, is the following. As that the only way that Hashem could be the melech over the world is he needs to have an am. Ein melech below am. If you make yourself an am, and we together, daven together to say, Hashem, we want to be that am, that's what we're going to get answered, right? The Chavetz Chaim. Is Mashiach good for the individual? Not necessarily. You know, nobody can convert when Mashiach comes, just like the Sugin Yevamos. They weren't Mekabel Gerim, they didn't accept converts, B'nei David v'Shlomo, because it was the golden era, the golden age of the Jewish people. Everybody wants to convert. When Mashiach comes, everyone's going to want to convert. You can't convert anymore when Mashiach comes. But not only that, explain the Chavetz Chaim, you can't do Tshuva Shleim anymore. Once Mashiach comes, in the MS, the veracity of the Torah is lucid, is transparent to one and all. You can't do Tshuva Shleim or Tshuva Mitzvah any longer. So you got to do Tshuva now. So what are we davening for that we want Mashiach so badly? We want it for the Jewish nation as an Am, and we want it for Shmo Yisbarach, for Kvodo Yisbarach. We want it for God. So thus, when you go back to Shmon Esrei, V'chein Tepatach Hashem Lokeinu, Hashem is a Lokeinu, Akol Ma'asecha, V'imascha Akol Ma'ashabarasa, V'yirucha Akol Ma'asa, V'yishtachavu, everyone should bow down as Avodim, V'yisuchulo Magunachas, but we have to come together as a nation, as an Am, Am, Losh, and Im together. We have to be an Agudachas, Laso, Sitzun, Chabalei, V'sholei. We want to get to that point in time that we're going to do Yerotzen with the whole heart, V'chulei, V'shimchon, Akol Ma'ashabarasa. But we don't stop there. We want to V'chein Ten Kovan Hashem Lamecha, give cover to your nation. Bring us back to Yishalayim. Let there be Simcha and Sos in the land. And bring Mashiach Tzidkenu. And let everybody rejoice. The Tzidikim Yerei Yismachu Yishom Yalozach Hasidim Marina Yagbilo V'chol Arish. And everyone's going to be destroyed. And we're going to be the nation. Why? It's not about us as individuals. It's first about God. First God establishing Mr. Mel. Next paragraph is, but now we need what? The Am. We need the nation. Because saying that God is the Melech without asking God to restore the glory of the Jewish people as an Am is not finishing up the job. The job is a melech below am, writes Rabbeinu Bachai, writes Bergloser. Therefore, you need to have an am. We need to have a nation. Who is the nation? We're the chosen nation. We're the chosen people. Someone just told me a story recently. My wife told me this story, that she was speaking to one of our nurses, an African-American woman from Nigeria. And she said that, you know, he was talking about the Jewish religion. She says, my father raised me that never say anything bad about the Jews because the world needs the Jews because the Jews are God's chosen people. And that's why she was raised to always have respect for the Jews. Ein melech b'lo'am. We need an am that's going to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the melech, but it's not done. We need paragraph number two. Hashem, bring your glory. Tein kovod li'amelech. I thought we're not asking. I thought Shmoneh Esrei done, but we're not asking for our own individual needs. It's us as a chelik of the am. Uva agud achas. Notice, we can only start paragraph two after we said, Yisuchulam agad achas. After we established that we're all agud achas. We're all one nation. Now that we're all one collective nation, now we can journey now to to the second paragraph. And now we could ask for kovod li'amecha, not to us as individuals, to us as a nation, to go back to Yerushalayim. And then we want everybody, the tzaddikim, the yeshorim, the chassidim, everyone's going to dance, everyone's going to rejoice as a member of the Jewish people. Our pride and joy when Mashiach comes is not, yes, Mashiach's here. It's that no more anti-Semitism, no more Shiva Malchias. It's that they can recognize you're a member of the Jewish people. They want to touch you. They want to run after you. The goyim are going to want to serve you. Chazal talking about 1,000 goyim. I'm going to, can you imagine? You're going to walk in the street. This guy's going to put on your gloves, and this one your coat, and this one your scarf, and this one's this one's going to want to polish your shoes. This one's going to want to get your breakfast in bed. The goyim are going to want to run to serve you, not for you, as a member of the Jewish people, as a member of the Am Yisrael. Tein kovod li'amelecha, ein melech b'lo am. Amela, now we can understand the Marsha. Because the Marsha says, Bilam wanted to destroy the Jewish people. How did he want to destroy the Jewish people? The Gemara says, in Brochas, Dav Zayin, Amin Aleph, and Avodah Zorah, Dav Dalet, he knew the one singular instant in Machlokes, how minute it is. He knew this one instant in the day that God gets angry. Because after all, God also showed to create the world Midas HaDin. He saw the world can last. God joined Midas HaRachman. But that means that there still remains Din. The world is not exclusively Rachman. There's a moment of Din. And there is this one instant in the day that God gets angry. And if you're a Navi who could tap into that moment, you could destroy the Jewish people. And the Gemara says that Bilam was Yodea Das Elyon. He was a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew that moment of the day that God gets angry. And he could have chopped and destroyed the Jewish people. But God was Mahapech, the Klola to Bracha. Ask Tysus, what are you going to say in that moment? It's either the time it takes to say the word Rega, or it's 155,550 of a second, or it's 188,800. It's such, what are you going to say, Bilam? What are you going to say in that amount of time? I can just, Tysus says, either all he had to do was start, and if you start, you're good to go, or he only had to say the word Kalem. Kalem, God destroy them. And in that one moment, had Bilam succeeded in saying the word Kalem, Chaf, Lam, and Mem, Kalem, which means destroy them, eradicate them. Bilam could have destroyed the Jewish people had God not interceded on our behalf, and God was mahapich the klola to a bracha. So ask the Marsha. He was mahapich. So what does that mean? That means he took the word kalem and changed it into a bracha. Everybody always knows, oh, so he took all the curses of Bilam and he changed the curses into blessings. But Bilam wanted to say the word kalem. So how did Hashem change that? Where's kalem into a bracha? Take the word kalem backwards. Hashem says, what's kalem backwards? Melech. Melech, Hashem says Melech. You know what Bilam said? Melech, make Hashem the Melech. I didn't understand, but that's very good. But Melech is also did. The Teretz is what? A Melech below Am. But Hashem needs an Am. He needs a Jewish people. If a Melech below Am, he needs a Jewish people. But Kalem is also what? Kalem is also the word Kulam. If you want Melech, first you have to make yourself Kulam. Yes, a Kulam, Agud Achas, Al Gishmak. First, after, look at the Nusach and Shmoneh Esrei Yisro Gishmak. Because first we say what? Take part the call. Hashem is Hashem, Hashem is Elokeinu. This mina sarachim, this mina sadin. Al komasach, emasach, komashvas. Every chelik of the bria, yirucho komasach, yishtocha. Everyone's going to bow down. Hashem is the melech. And now what? Yisuchulam agudachas. You can't have a melech without an am. So we all got to get together, kulam, all together. Yisuchulam, we're all in agudachas. We're all going to do yirots in the whole world together. And now v'chein, take kavan Hashem liamecha. Hashem mina sarachim, not Hashem Elokeinu. Oh, what do you mean, Hashem? Ah, this is rachim. Hashem, give your rachim. Look. So let the world see we're going to have the covered liamecha. How are we going to have that? Because now that we mamlech Hashem, and now that we got back together, and we changed kalem, destroy them to kulam. Now Hashem was mahapich the klal to brocha. Hashem turned it upside down. Kalem backwards is melech. That's the brocha. The brocha is Hashem said melech. Why is that a brocha? Melech does din. I but a melech below on, but a king needs a nation. We're the nation. So that's how we're saved, comes Rosh Hashanah time. It's the Yom HaDin. How do we get our tefillahs? We're our tefillahs in Shmoneh Esrei. Teretz is God's together with us. Uvachein ani v'hu. We're together with God in this one. You daven for God. Kol mespala bar chaveiro. Hashem's called our reo. V'hu tzarech lo sedor v'hu netechila. Don't worry. If you're davening for everything God, you're going to be saved at the same. That's mahalach number one. Number two is Hashem melech, melech, but melech a melech bloam. It needs a people. It needs a nation. I want to be a part of the nation. I'll be chulam agud achas. Now take kovan Hashem liamecha. Emelach bloam. I want to be a proud member of those people. If I'm that people, I'm going to get the kovan out for me. Because I want to highlight the greater the am, and the greater glorified, the more glory and splendor that's showered upon the nation. Then the melech, the more glorified the king himself is. Approach number two, emelach bloam. Make yourself an am. Make yourself part of chulam agud achas. And then you'll be zocha to the bracha. Take kovan Hashem liamecha. Once we have that, then the tzaddikim, Yisharmiel, where's everybody else? Teretz is by this point in time, there is nobody else. We don't need Rishon because now we're ready by the Gula. By the Gula, it's only tzaddikim, Yisharim, Chassidim, we're all good. By this time, we're all good. Just make yourself an Evet and be a loyal locust, and it's going to be a great Rosh Hashanah. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next Tuesday night in Mitzvah.